I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. We learn now about one of British Columbia's unheralded artists, Ina D.D. Utoff, born in Scotland in 1889. Utoff was prolific and one who was highly regarded for her work as an artist, critic, and administrator. She was versatile too, considered the Doyen of Victoria Painters. A book, The Life and Art of Ina D.D. Utoff, has recently been published by the indomitable Mona Fertig's Mother Tongue Publishing. Its author, Christina Johnson-Dean, joins me now. It is the fifth volume in the Unheralded Artists of BC series that Mona was on recently to talk about. I'll get Ms. Johnson-Dean to tell us about Ina Utoff, her art, as well as what it was like to write this book, which is thorough and lavishly illustrated. What you get out of this book is a sense of the times in which Ina Utoff lived and the vibrant art scene in Victoria during the 1930s through to the 1960s. It's a fascinating life as well. Utoff was the founder of the Victoria School of Art and key in the establishment of the Art Gallery of Greater Victoria. Visit mothertonguepublishing.com for more information on the book. You can buy it there as well. Christina Johnson-Dean teaches in the Greater Victoria School District and has published two previous books, The Crease Family, A Record of Settlement and Service in British Columbia, and BC Women Artists, 1885 to 1920. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Christina Johnson-Dean. Ms. Johnson-Dean, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh, I'm happy to be talking with you.
So let's start at her beginning, at Ina's beginning. She was born in Scotland, and she ended up here when?
Well, yes, she was born in Scotland and trained there at the Glasgow School of Art, which, you know, was a very vibrant time. It was a school designed by Charles Rennie Mackintosh, and a wonderful, vibrant time to be in Scotland and in Glasgow. And after graduating in about the winter of 1913, she came on her own across the Atlantic and across Canada by paddle wheeler to visit friends at Crawford Bay up near Nelson. And it was quite a shock to come from Glasgow, the city of Glasgow, to the far reaches of Canada. But it turned out she loved it, and it is a place where she met her future husband. And she was there for about a year, and then World War II happened. And she returned to Scotland and did her teacher's training, and then after the war reconnected with Ted Utoff. So she was originally Ina Duncan Dewar Campbell. She was really a Campbell. So for anybody that's at a garage sale or looking around, you might find an Ina D.D. Campbell painting.
Mm.
Anyway, then they returned. They married and returned in 1919 to Crawford Bay. And they were there until Ted's war wounds affected things. And she came, Ina came with the two young children to Victoria and started the Victoria School of Art in about 1925.
And she never remarried, right?
She never remarried. In fact, they never divorced. They lived separately, although they did. There was communication and visits. But she was really a single parent who braved her way and made a living for herself in Victoria. And she never remarried. When they died, Ted and Ina died, both of them in 1971, and they were still officially married.
Now, when you read the book, you get a sense of, as I said in the introduction, what this place was like. She certainly, even though she was born elsewhere, seems like what one would call a British Columbian.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time,
very much loved it.
Yeah, and but she still remained a Scottish woman, as is described in the book, right?
That's right. I think essentially her upbringing and her art training and her teacher training were Scottish, but so. That was so true of many other people who came to British Columbia. It was also in about the same time that art school was being started in Vancouver, and she knew Charles Scott, John Kyle, who then was with the Ministry of Education, Department of Education, and so there was a lot of communication and support among those that knew Scotland.
Now, how would her art be described? I mean, there are different styles of looking in the book, right?
Well, that's what's so remarkable about her, is that she started out in Scotland with the Glasgow School of Art, where you got a really solid training, understood the classic art training, the old masters, etc., but also with Charles Rennie Mackintosh and his wife, Margaret MacDonald, there was an interest in the arts and crafts movement and Art Nouveau, and so they were really on the cutting edge of looking at new styles. And her early work does show this very classic. She knew perspective. She could really do portraits. She could draw for commercial art. When she came and started her Victoria School of Art, there were a tremendous amount of course offerings, and she was the person who did it. She did engraving. She did all sorts of drawing, painting, young children to adults, leatherwork, metalwork. She just was so versatile. And then she took over the Kingston School of Pottery and pioneered some new kinds of glazes. And she really does show that development in the 20th century. She did some very abstract paintings in the end and some that are very impressionistic. On the cover of the book is Victoria in the Rain. It's probably near Broughton and Government, where one of her studios was located. And so you can see a much more impressionistic type of painting.
And I guess that helped in the career later on as a critic, right? Knowing all these styles. And
she knew all those styles, and she was a key founder of the art gallery and promoted it by reporting on what was happening at the gallery, and then developed into the Daily Colonist art critic. She did that for quite a number of years. And she was very supportive of young student artists and young artists, and very open-minded to all different kinds of styles. And along with Colin Graham, who is the director, really set out to educate people so they would understand this wonderful world beyond just what had been done in the past.
There was a name in the book that popped out for me, and just because his daughter appears on this program regularly, Max Maynard.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
What
was the relationship with Ina? He was a teacher, I guess, right?
Yes. Now, Max Maynard was, he was a teacher. He'd gone to Vic High, and he was a friend of, he was a good close friend of Jack Shadbolt. In fact, Max became vice president of the Island Arts and Crafts Society, which did an annual exhibition. And it was usually your traditional artist, watercolor landscapes like the Kreese family. And he was one that said, initiated the modern room. And he and Jack Shadbolt and Edith Hembroff, who's the subject of the next book in the series of Unheralded Artists of BC, along with Emily Carr, they had a section of the Island Arts and Crafts exhibition in 1932 called the Modern Room. And Ina Utoff was unique in that she was the only one of those artists that had her work in the conservative traditional section and in the modern room. Hmm. And they didn't quite want to accept her, but she had studied like Emily Carr with Mark Toby, and she did have paintings that certainly fit in, and so one of her paintings, The Cedars, was included. Max Maynard then moved on from Victoria, and but of all those that exhibited in that modern room exhibit, I know Utoff is the only one that remained in Victoria and through the years made a living. By 1945, Emily Carr had passed away, but Ina Utoff didn't pass away until 1971.
Well, were Ina and Emily Carr, were they friends?
Yes, they certainly knew each other. They had very different lives. Ina Utoff was single-handedly a single parent rearing two children. So she had a very different demands in her life than Emily Carr did. There were some years difference in age, but both of them were very interested in the new trends in art, and they both sponsored, and at one time together sponsored Mark Toby, the artist from Seattle, to come and teach them and others painting and drawing. Ina Utoff was always known for being on the cutting edge and moving ahead, and she had great admiration for Emily Carr. And Emily Carr, actually, there's a little quote in Hundreds and Thousands, which is supposed to be about Ina Utoff. It really fits, and how she really admired, Emily Carr really admired Ina Utoff, and realized what how much she was juggling as she carried on as a principal and teacher at an art school, and her painting and rearing two children. And it was a hard way to make a living as an artist in Victoria.
Why wasn't she, or why isn't she today, as well known as she should be?
Well, I think things in Victoria, number one, are never as well known as those in Vancouver. I think that we have a tendency as people to follow along with what is popular, and Emily Carr really made a wonderful name for herself originally with her work that showed First Nations art and places, and then she really found her own style with the forest and the woods of Vancouver Island and British Columbia. Ina Utoff did a lot of landscapes too, particularly in 1942 when she had 10 months to paint in the Rockies. And that was a wonderful time for her, and there are lots of paintings from that period of mountains and glaciers and lakes. I think that does happen. People all know Picasso, but do they know the names around him?
Mm, yeah. The other thing that that I found interesting when you talk about her is her work as a teacher. I mean, you get to talk to some of these students. Some of them have gone on to great note themselves about what she was like as a teacher.
Yes. Uh-huh. And the wonderful sketch by Lillian Rogers showing her class, and or a cartoon, actually, of the classroom. And, yes, she was old-school Scottish and known as a disciplinarian. She was very well organized, obviously, but she was very sensitive in some ways to her students, and they admired her for that. She never would paint on your painting or anything. Mm-hmm. She might put a little X and make some suggestions. She was very supportive in her reviews of students. You know, she wasn't huggy and warm and cozy, but she was very helpful, and they really knew that she knew her stuff. In fact, when Pat Barton Bates came later and had met her, she was Ina was quite a mentor to Pat Barton Bates, and she remembered that she just had met no one that knew all the various kinds of printmaking. She just had such a versatile skills.
The artistic scene in Victoria, it's quite a vibrant one in the years that Ina was there, right?
Well, and she was a key
at the fore there.
That.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Victoria, compared to other places, was very slow to get a public art gallery. They had tried for a number of years. There were the de Lotbiniers who came, and, of course, Catherine and John Maltwood wanted to donate, and the city was very reluctant to take responsibility for that. But the real push came in the 1940s when the Honorable Mark Kearley was here. But he got good support from Ina Utoff and others, and they were able to get the little gallery established in Plimley's car showroom in the mid-40s. And then the war ended, and people were buying cars again, so the art center, or the little gallery in the beginning, the art center, had to move around. But finally, with Sarah Spencer, they got a permanent home at the old house on Moss Street, where the art gallery still is today.
And is she taught in school, say, or in other books? Did you find that?
Ina Utoff taught in many different ways. She started her own school of art. she did the secondary correspondence course in art. This would be for students like in lighthouses. For many years she did that. She taught at the Provincial Normal School in the summer, teaching teachers. And she taught at various independent schools, Glen Lyon School, St. Margaret School, and also at Strathcona Lodge School up in the Duncan area.
What was it like to work with Mona on this book?
Oh, wonderful. I have to say I feel so privileged to be part of this whole process, to the vision she has and the energy she puts into it, and the quality of work that she puts out. And mine isn't the only book that she's doing. She seems to always have something on the go, and it's been a great experience, and I think her whole series and the things she thinks of have so contributed to our history and the arts here in British Columbia.
Yeah, indeed. Michael Utoff is a name that we see a lot of, I guess, in the credits. He's her grandson, right?
That's right.
And so he has a lot of the art.
He has. Actually, probably now most of the art, though, is with a granddaughter in Massachusetts. But Ina had a son, John, and he had two sons, John, who's passed away, and Michael, who is here in Victoria, a really skilled cabinet maker, fine art wood maker, anyway, woodworker. And then her daughter, Muriel, married and had two daughters. One lives in Michigan, I believe, and the other in Massachusetts. And she has quite a bit of her work still. But, you know, Ina Utoff was incredibly prolific.
Yeah.
And she was, you know, some of her work is in Vancouver, Victoria, but also in the Glenbow Gallery in Calgary. And because she was in the Rockies and did those, and she sold a number of paintings when, you know, not every, Ina was not so good about signing, dating, titling her paintings. But anyway, you may get the IDDU, that is kind of a signature she had on there, and that's something if you're in a garage sale or looking around, people may find something on their walls that is an original by her.
Do you do that? Do, when you go to garage sales, do you look for art like that? And
I don't, but I have a brother-in-law that does.
Yeah. I mean, I've been to garage sales where I never really look at art, but I mean, I see people do that. And I guess they're looking for, you know, a piece of treasure, I guess, like you know, something like this.
I would imagine you could find an Ina Utoff there, one there. And it's interesting to me, I'll just be at sort of a social gathering, and I mention I'm doing this, and somebody will go, oh, I have an Ina Utoff.
Uh-huh.
And so there are people that do have them, and I would imagine Victoria, Vancouver, even up into the Rockies and Calgary, and of course, who knows what's in the Nelson area.
Now, this may seem like a silly question, but you know, I'm not known for not asking those sorts of questions. But I mean, is this stuff worth anything? Like, is it worth a lot? I should say.
Well, you know, art or anything you purchase, it's worth what it's what the purchaser thinks it's worth. When the Mercurial Gallery, which was recently doing some shows, you know, it would be, well, they were framed, it would be $1,000 or $2,000 for a painting. Who knows, in a garage sale, what you might pay.
When
it depends on the quality.
Yeah.
It had really different, you know, levels of work.
And it, I mean, it's great to look at. I mean, just flipping through the book, you mentioned these different styles. I mean, she had different, you know, different times of her life. She'd paint a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When was the first time you actually heard of Ina Utoff?
Well, I have known about her for quite a while, because when I was a graduate student, in the summer, we worked with the Status of Women Action Group on a grant through the Secretary of State. And we were cataloging and investigating women artists of British Columbia. And so we became aware of Ina Utoff then. And she was included in the exhibit that was a traveling exhibit that started at the Art Gallery of Greater Victoria. And it was Women Artists of British Columbia, 1885 to 1985. And that was Nicholas Tuelli that coordinated that. And Roberta Pazro and I were the writers for the different periods. And Ina DeeDee-Uytoff was definitely included in that, and certainly was important in Victoria. She was on that board of directors of the gallery for many years, and it was her painting Sunflowers, which was the first acquisition the gallery made in terms of their permanent collection.
And so when you write a book like this, I mean, you come to it obviously knowing about her.
A little bit.
Yeah. Did you have to like her? She's a likable person, right?
I just loved learning about her. And the more I talked to people and the more I researched her, particularly when I was looking at the granddaughter's files and papers back in Massachusetts, I just came to have great admiration for her. What she did in that time, of how she made a living as an artist, investigated so many media and styles, and meanwhile was rearing two children. And she was usually lived in the Monterey school area, and they didn't have a lot of money, and they had to move houses many times. She had many different studios. It was probably dictated by finances. And she was not able to purchase a home until 1945, once her children had pretty well grown up. And that was over on Constance Avenue in Esquimalt. So I'm not sure how she was able to have the money then. It might have been because she did run the Victoria School of Art with the Kingston School of Pottery under the Department of Education. We don't have her checkbook to know exactly how everything came in.
Yeah. Now, a review of the book, it was, I guess, when the Times columnist suggested that you seemed to shy away from saying anything negative about Uytoff. Did you care to respond to the review?
Did I see the one by Candace Fertile?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, the book, that's what she said, that there was no, there was nothing really negative about her, and that you seemed to shy away from that. Is that?
Oh, well, I don't think that I did take a side pro or con. I think what I was trying to do is show what I found out about her. Some of the things that I put there will, for instance, that she would use the strap in education. Her opinion sometimes about modern art, where it needs to be vibrant, but where is it going? I let her speak for herself, and some people will find that positive, and some people might say, oh, no, she was old school, old country. I think I reported on her, and I had great admiration for her. I wasn't negative about her.
No. Well, was it fun to do this?
It was really fun and intellectually challenging and fascinating to do the research and to meet with people and talk with them. And people were so helpful.
Yeah. And then the reaction from the family, I mean, they must think it's cool that,
Oh, the family was really supportive and was really quite lovely with that. They came to the launch and, had wonderful paintings and etchings and other works by her that they made it so easy for us to produce this book, because you have a publisher on a very, very, very limited budget. And so it's wonderful when you can access. And what's so marvelous about this book are the visuals. You can really see her work. And that really, I think, makes it unique.
Yeah. What's next for you? Are you working on another book with Mona?
Yes. Actually, this book originally was about two women that were in that modern room that Max Maynard had organized. It was going to be about Ina DeeDee-Uytoff and Edith Hembroff Schleicher, who was a sketching partner of Emily Carr and the provincial consultant on Emily Carr. However, once we had done the research and seen what they had done, Mona realized that it was two books. So we launched the one on Ina DeeDee-Uytoff first, and that's what we're working on now, is Edith Hembroff Schleicher. She was Edith Hembroff Brand in Vancouver. And her story is much more intertwined with that of Emily Carr.
You know, I appreciate your time today. This as I said at the outset, I'm not an art fan or someone who appreciates art, but I enjoyed this book. It's
thank you.
It's a great history of BC, and congratulations on it. You've done a great service with it.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad you enjoyed it.
The book is called The Life and Art of Ina D.D. Utoff, or Utoff, as I said earlier, published by Mother Tongue. MotherTonguePublishing.com is the website. Its author, Christina Johnson-Dean, on the line from Victoria. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.